Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. Try it free for 7 days. Visit lynda.com/know-how. That's lynda.com/know-how. Today, you'll know how to power your gadgets with fire, and then, assuming your gadget's on fire, you'll also know how to never lose all your electronics. Welcome to Know How. I'm Aya Zakhtar.
I'm Father Robert Ballaser.
And this is Twit's how-to show. We give you a project or two or 10 or 50 that you could do in the comfort of your own home, assuming you have a fire extinguisher nearby. Because today's episode is full of wackiness. But first, we should check how we're going to get there. What's making the news?
Yeah, so have you ever heard about deep space exploration, Ayaz?
No, never.
Okay, you know...
Is this a thing now?
It's a thing. It's, well, you know, a while back. The whole idea of taking these satellites and just send them out of the solar system, just sending them as far as we can go. Problem is, you know, you can't really power them because the sun gets too weak, so you need to use a thing called an RTG, radioisotope thermal generator.
And this is in the news?
This is in the news, yeah. It's powered by plutonium. And so what we've got is NASA's telling us that, well, we're out of plutonium. We've got 10 pounds left in the entire U.S. stockpile, and we've already earmarked it. The problem is we don't make it anymore because plutonium-238 is a byproduct of the process to make nuclear weapons, and we're not really actively making those anymore.
Okay, that's very interesting. How does that translate to what we're doing? We're making a time machine. Are we working with Doc Brown today?
Absolutely. Well, okay, no. But we are going to learn how to do some of the stuff that allows for those deep space probes to go on. You see, that P-38, when you put it into a puck, it literally looks like a hockey puck.
Okay.
It heats itself up because it's shooting off helium cores to about 1,200 degrees. Now, of course, they can't put like a power plant into a spacecraft that they're sending out into deep space. So they developed a technology, very simple technology, to turn heat directly into electricity.
So we're going to be able to use... So we're obviously not going to be using plutonium here.
Unless you've got some.
I don't happen to have plutonium. I might be... Anyway, there's far too many jokes on this.
Yeah,
let's just move past that.
Let's go past
that. Let's talk about actually setting fire to some stuff to make some energy.
Right, right. Okay, so here we have the standard schematic for an RTG. It's your heat source and a bunch of what are called thermocouples or a thermopile. It sounds like really cool magical technology that turns this heat into electricity that can power a satellite, but it's actually not. Right over here, we've got a good example of an RTG. I just reviewed this on Before You Buy. This is a BioLite cam stove. It takes the heat from the fire, puts it through that heat pipe, and it turns it into enough electricity for you to be able to charge your USB device. Now, this may seem like, again, magic, but really at the heart is this.
You have here what looks to be a broken coat hanger.
It's a actually, you could make this out of a broken
coat. This is very exciting. I don't know if you could see these. It's actually two different kinds of metals twisted together.
Right, right. So, you know, people in our forums have said, well, we want to know how to make stuff out of things we already have. Well, if you've got two types of wire, a coat hanger and some copper, maybe you strip the electrical wire out of your house, you can make one of these things. Let me show you really how quickly. I've got some spools of copper and galvanized steel. This stuff you can pick up. I actually bought this for about $3 down at the local tractor hardware supply. You just cut off a length, like so, so that we've got two. Now what we're going to do is we're going to twist together the ends. This is probably the most inefficient way to do it, but we're going to do it this way because, well, you know, I don't want to be soldering on the set. What this will allow us to do is to put two of the metals into close contact with each other, and it uses what's called the Seebeck effect, which happens whenever you put two dissimilar metals into close contact and you heat them. Because when you heat a metal, it expands. And because it expands at different rates, what's going to happen is it's going to generate a small electric current, which we will be able to measure on a probe. So what we want to do now is you're going to be the master of the probe.
That's an interesting phrase to have. Another. We're just really going all over the place today. So we've got a multimeter here. You've got those two pieces of wire that are together. So we've got a piece of steel, piece of copper. You're connecting it to the multimeter. And we're going to heat this up, and we're going to see voltage here?
Yeah. So this is no magic. There's no foolery. It's a multimeter with a thermocouple attached and two probes on the ends. It's at 0 volts right now. And
here's the fire. Let's make sure that we don't get
Jabber
hurt.
B's getting nervous.
We've got a guy.
We start heating this up, and hold on.
We're seeing movement there.
See, now we're starting to see voltage. It should get all the way up to about 0.1. There we go. Okay, so that's actually not a lot, though. What we're getting is 1 millivolt.
1 millivolt. So I can charge nothing.
You can charge.
Maybe an LED.
Skadoosh.
I can have an LED light up when I set up fire, because, you know, when you have fire, you need light nearby for the LEDs. Fire is dark. No. Anyway.
Yeah. No, but what you would do is you would actually have what's called a thermal pile. You would have dozens, hundreds, thousands
as the schematic shows.
As they do in the spacecraft. The reason why I want to show this off is because in a future episode, we're actually going to build an efficient version of this. This is something we put together literally in like a minute or two here. But you can get these little 80-cent TECs, thermoelectric coolers, that will allow us to get usable energy out of a waste heat source, like a stove.
So creating efficient one. Maybe you'll do the efficient one. And I'll do the most inefficient one possible.
But huge.
Just gigantic. I'm going to go to a junkyard and get big.
Maybe you actually can get plutonium.
I don't know what kind of junkyard you hang out in. I don't know.
But that's that. So, I mean, this right now, so we're duplicating what NASA's sending out into space, so they could call us, and maybe we'll heat up a couple of coat hangers and
exactly.
Yeah, power.
It's a very fitting time since Gravity is out now. It's a really good movie. I highly suggest it.
And evidently, everything in space explodes.
It can. So we're going to be messing with that in a future build. And by the way, in the news, also Windows 8.1 is out. And as a gag, I'm going to try to download it now live as this is going. You know, back when I used to watch the screensavers, there was always this time they'd be like, hey, I'm going to install Linux or download Linux. So they'd hit the button and walk away. About 6 months later, you'd actually get it, because those are the dial-up days. And the Microsoft servers have been hit pretty hard. Let's see if this thing actually does anything. I'm hitting download right now. And there's little dots flying, so I think it's going. It's only a 3.26 gigabyte file, it ought to be done soon. So.
Do you have high hopes for this, IS?
I have got hopes.
Because I've seen my Twitter feed filled with people saying, I've been sitting in front of this thing for 8 hours, and I'm like 1%.
We'll check in on this from time to time. Hopefully it'll get done by the end of the year.
Maybe you could have 8.1 right about the time they release 8.2.
Sounds like a plan.
I like this.
At least before 9, we'll have it. So we got this downloading. We're going to be messing with that in the future. Should we move on to the insanity that is losing our gadgets?
Let's do it. Because, you know, I got to tell you, Ayaz, I am always losing my stuff. I don't know why. I just throw it away. I throw it in the ether. It's gone.
Well, that's probably why you're losing them. You're throwing them?
Stop throwing them.
Yeah, so first we get your utility belt.
Okay, yes.
But that could... No, anyway. So, yeah, so we're going to... Let's talk about some software solutions real fast right now. If you've got an iDevice, the simplest thing you can do is go get Find My iPhone. It's an application. It's free. It's from Apple. If you lose your phone or your laptop or anything that uses iCloud, you'll be able to see it on a map. Also, I was messing with this earlier. If you're going to use iCloud and you want to lock up your desktop, you can do that. You can lock up your laptop or desktop. You can even send a message to the person who's there. I wrote a swear word for myself, and he had put in a long 6-digit or 7-digit PIN. So it's very hard to mess with. You can also erase those devices. So the iCloud works really well when it comes to taking care of your device. You'll be able to find it as well. You don't have to just nuke it. You'll be able to see it on a map. But, I mean, that doesn't necessarily get it back for you. It just means you can find it.
Yeah, I've read all these stories about iDevice users who know exactly where their device is. And not only that, maybe they've used the camera to take a picture of the person who stole their device. But police, typically, that's a low priority. They're not going to respond to that unless there's no other crime in the city. Even if you say, look, at this address, apartment number 2, here's a picture of the guy, here's the time he took it, here's a tracker, you can find it right now, they're not going to respond.
Also, if you're using an Android device, you're like, I can't use iCloud, what good is this for me? Don't worry about that. There's Android Device Manager. It's from Google. If you're messing with your phone, you're like, hey, where is this? It's actually in your Google settings. You'll be able to make sure you turn on both options. One is remote wiping, and one is saying located on a map. Right now, you can see what appears to be Brian's Android Device Manager. Naughty, naughty, because he does not have any of his devices activated to be findable, but you would see them on a map. I was messing with it earlier, and it did actually put it in Twit. It was like, yes, my devices are all in one location.
That's not bad.
Yeah, the Apple Maps, they'll kind of put it on the street outside.
Okay, I got to ask you this, because I've always been really impressed with the iDevice finding services. I mean, they're really good. They're refined. They're hard to trick. They're hard to turn off. Do you find the Android equivalent to be at least as good?
As Apple finding things? Yeah, so far, I've found things just fine.
Okay.
I haven't had any serious issues, but obviously this obviously means that you have to have a device that's on a network. Because if you don't have a network connection, you're not going to be able to get this stuff back. But this is about finding your own device. Now,
most
chances, it's not going to give you this fantastic, like, hey, I can find this within 5 feet. It's telling you where it is on a giant map. So I know I did this a couple of weeks ago where I was like, I can't find my iPad. Now, me without my iPad is like me without my left hand. It's not going to happen. But it turned out I had left work, and I left it here. And I'm like, this is impossible. It truly was. And obviously, we have lots of networks on Twitter.
Yeah, of course.
It was working fine there. But if you want to have a solution that works on everything, iDevices, laptops, desktops, Android devices, there's something called Prey. Now, Prey is an open-source solution for this. So a lot of people are very concerned about installing a third-party application that's monitoring your location of your device. Sounds like something you want to freak out about. But you don't have to do that because it's open-source. You can check what they're doing every single step of the way. So it's as secure as an open-source thing can be. Depends how you want it to go on that.
I played with it a little bit when it was first released. I must have had unfinished code. It was buggy. I didn't really like it. And more than that, I was thinking, if I was going to deploy this at, say, one of the schools that I consult for, I probably would want a built-in solution, something like the, you know, what's in iDevices or what comes from Google for Android devices. Third party is great. I mean, I love that. But I'm not sure how many people would bear through some of the weirdness you have to do.
Well, I was testing it out earlier today. I know Brian has tried it out in his with his own devices. And now I tried out Prey. We can bring up that screenshot. This is my laptop. You can see where it is now. If I say this laptop is missing, there's this little slider. You can go to missing. And if you start scrolling down, you'll see all the information you can gather. This is the geography, location, the network. If you want to find active connections, if you want to take a screenshot of what's actually going on that actual device, if you want to take a image from the web camera that's built in, that's in there. And so what you do is you would save that, and then Prey will then send you an email telling you that your device is lost. But don't worry, in like 15 minutes, you'll get a report. This is the report it gave me, and it located my laptop right by what looks to be Twit. If you keep scrolling down, you'll see a picture of the guy who took my laptop.
He looks shady.
He wasn't even bothering to look at the laptop. He was messing with my iPad. If you scroll down the screenshot, what was he looking at? He was looking for my Android devices.
Okay, we're getting recursive now.
You believe this?
Yeah.
This is my Galaxy S3. That guy now knows where all my stuff is. So that's really concerning, but I was able to do that. You can't lock out anything.
Right.
But you can find your device, and you'll know that rat who stole it because you got a picture of him.
Now, I got to ask you, these are all software solutions, which are great because, as we've seen, they get to be feature-rich, and they're generally free to very inexpensive-ish. But software you can just turn off, right? I mean, you turn off the device, you turn off the hardware, you turn off the software that's running in the background, and suddenly none of these work. Yes? Or
yes, true.
No.
Now, there could be hardware solutions. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to take a quick break and thank our friends at Lynda.com. Now, if you've been watching Know How, you know Lynda.com at this point. It's an online learning company that helps anyone learn creative skills, software, and business skills to achieve their personal and professional goals. And with a Lynda.com subscription, members receive unlimited access to a vast library of high-quality, current, and engaging video tutorials across a wide variety of subjects. Lots and lots of subjects. If you're talking about software, you got Excel, Photoshop, Dreamweaver. If you like to mess with Raspberry Pis, they've got tutorials. If you like making DSLR videos, tutorials on that. Now, if you've been paying attention the past couple of weeks, when it comes to all the courses I've been taking, I've tried out how to switch from Final Cut Pro to Premiere. That was one course I was taking. Another one was video journalism because I was looking into documentary making, and it would have really helped me to have those skills. Then Logic Pro because I found that disc in the garage. So the course I'm looking at this week, because I really need this one, Time Management Fundamentals.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm taking all these courses, I really need to schedule this a little bit better. And the Time Management Fundamentals tutorial, I really like it. So it goes beyond the scope of just software. There's lots of information you can have for your business life or your real life. And this might be a controversial point as discussed, by the author of the program saying that there's no such thing as true multitasking by a human being. It's just quick switching. Now, you can argue with that all you want, but you'll learn all these tools right there from experts in the field. It's not some guy making a YouTube video in his basement with
really bad audio. You can't hear anything.
It's not like that. It's really high quality stuff. You can improve your skills, learn new software, keep up with technology. There's over 2,000 courses with new courses added daily. And the courses this week that have been added, practicing photographer. So if you want to be working as a photographer, they have a course for that. Increasing your creativity at work and code efficiency. Now, if you're going to be making code, you could have the really sloppy, bloated code that runs slowly, or you could be efficient, like Steve Gibson, who makes the tiniest, tiniest apps in the world. They actually still fit on floppy disks. Like, that's how small they are. Efficiency in code is fantastic. You should learn that. It's one of the courses over at lynda.com. Like I mentioned before, the instructors are, they are experts in their field. They know what they're doing. High-quality video production, audio production. You're going to get supremely excellent video and audio when you're listening to these courses or watching them. It's curated course content. Each lynda.com course is carefully structured so that users can learn from start to finish or jump to a specific chapter. So if you don't want to listen to a particular chapter, you can move over to another one. There's easy-to-follow videos that help you find the answers you need. Searchable transcripts, because if you're like, hey, what was that point this guy was talking about? You can search through the video because of the transcripts. Bookmarks and playlists, so you can organize all the courses you're taking. And courses go all over the place. So all levels are covered. So if you're talking about, I'm a novice, I'm an intermediate person or an expert, there's all these courses for you. And if you're like, I don't even know where to start. There's over 2,000 courses. What am I going to do? Well, you can find inspiration and new ideas because lynda.com has a series called Creative Inspirations, which are documentaries. And what they do is they follow companies and creative individuals who are leaders, entrepreneurs, inventors, experts, and pioneers in their field. Now, creative inspiration documentaries include Burt Monroy, who used to do Pixel Perfect, did a lot of work with the screensavers. Great stuff. Excellent expert when it comes to Photoshop and working with light in a digital medium. And Mixopolis Animation Studio. So we've got a company that does animation. We've got these documentaries about them at lynda.com. And it works on pretty much any device you've got. So if I want to start off on my laptop, I'm looking at my time management essentials, then I want to move over to my iPad, I just got to fire up the lynda.com app. And I'll be able to watch the video in the, where I've left off. And then I can move over to my phone or whatever, assuming I can find my devices, I can go ahead and have all this stuff. So if I got 15 minutes or 15 hours of time to kill, lynda.com is making it really easy for me to learn way. So many schedules, so many different skills to learn, so little time. That's why I need a time management class. So that's actually very helpful. It's only $25 a month to access Lynda's entire course library. Or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that lets you follow along with the instructor's project using the exact same materials they're using to teach you. And you can try lynda.com right now with a free 7-day trial. Visit lynda.com/knowhow to access the entire library. That's over 2,000 courses for free for 7 days. That's lynda.com/knowhow. And we thank lynda.com for their sponsorship of Know How because they're fantastic.
You know, I just used Lynda over the weekend, and I used that feature where you can pick up on any device, the last point you left off. I got to tell you, I've been hearing this ad a lot, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But no, it's awesome. I was down in my room. I was watching a course on Adobe Premiere. And then I went up to the exercise room because that's where we keep the soda. And I brought out my phone, and it discontinued from where I had left off. And it was actually a really, really cool thing to be able to keep that point of reference, that point of thought, and just go back to the lesson and no matter where I am, no matter what device I'm looking at.
Yeah, so try lynda.com/knowhow if you want to try it out for free for 7 days. And let's take a look at my Windows 8 installation. We got install can't be completed. I don't know if you can see that. See, that's an error. So we're going to try that again.
That deserves a sad trombone.
Well, we're working on this.
Wait.
Oh, we got dots going. This will happen one day. Whoa, it's downloading.
Whoa.
We got progress, people. Not very fast, but we've got progress.
We probably should mention that at the Brick House, we have a considerably larger connection than most people do at home. So, yeah.
It'll take its time right here.
There's that.
You were messing with a laptop, not a laptop, a new device. I believe it's a touchscreen.
Yeah. Have you ever used a Windows 8 laptop or desktop without a touchscreen?
Yes.
It shouldn't exist.
If you're going to use Windows 8, you should have a touchscreen.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of these things where, well, you hit the price point because we want to sell it for $300. It's not going to have a touchscreen, but it's still Windows 8. I'm sure the chat room knows this. It's frustrating as all get to not have a touchscreen for what is clearly a touchscreen OS. And people have been complaining about it. So now I thought maybe we should do a long-term review of a nice screen, a nice-sized screen that gives you that touch capability, that lets you retroactively give touch capability to a laptop or desktop that doesn't have Windows 8. This is After You Buy.
Take your monitor. Now stretch it. Add a bunch of ports. Attach some speakers. Slap a touchscreen on top of it. A sleek stand behind it. And shoehorn everything into a sexy 1.5-inch thick VESA-mountable housing. Ladies and gentlemen, the Acer T27HL. For those who watch my reviews on Before You Buy, the T27HL is basically a refinement of the Acer 7600U all-in-one, without the computer. It has the same general dimensions, the same unique adjustable leg, industrial design, see-through stand, and the same ability to input multiple video and audio sources. Designed for those using Windows 8, the T27HL is a 27-inch edge-to-edge touchscreen monitor featuring 1080p resolution, a 5-millisecond response time, and a 60Hz refresh rate. Acer included HDMI, DVI, and VGA video inputs, as well as a single upstream USB 3.0 port and three USB 3.0 downstream ports. Image quality is good, much better than I would expect from a 1920 by 1080 piece of glass. The vertical alignment panel gives the monitor a wide 178 degree by 178 degree viewing angle, and the LED backlight gives it acceptable brightness, good color saturation, and dark blacks. We found the response time to be perfectly suited for even the most twitchy games, and the sound from the integrated stereo speakers is good, but not great. There's power enough to fill a small room, but you'll probably want to connect to speakers with a bit more bass. Of course, the real story with the T27HL is the touchscreen. Driven by the USB 3.0 connection, the 10-point multi-touch sensor is smooth, fast, and nearly flawless. It interfaced with a variety of Windows 8 laptops and desktops and even a Surface Pro. Each time, the addition of a capable touchscreen made Windows 8 less of a chore and more of a potentially interesting OS. One note of interest, the inclusion of a VESA mounting option is an acknowledgement that a monitor like this can be used on a desk, but it is most unique when mounted on a wall or a stand, places where keyboards and mice are not as practical. In the end, the Acer T27HL may not be the monster tablet of your nightmares, but it's a wonderfully simple implementation of a set of technologies that may change your mind about Windows 8. The Acer T27HL is available now for about $540. It comes with a 3-year warranty.
So you brought this massive thing
onto set. Yeah.
It's only 27 inches. This is a great tablet. It feels great.
Just strap a UPS to your back and you've got your tablet.
I really need some like wireless display options so I can walk around with this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it is a bit on the big side. It's a bit on the heavy side, but I like the fact that they took what was an all-in-one. They took the best part of the all-in-one, which was the screen, and they made it a standalone. So this will be my Windows 8 touchscreen. This will be my Xbox display. It's got speakers that are fine for, say, a dorm room. And I love the fact that it does this VESA mounting thing. So I can put it on a wall. I can put it on the stand. What touch is really supposed to do? Because honestly, you're not going to want to sit at your desk and do this.
You don't want to do the gorilla arm thing?
The gorilla arm. No. Steve was right about that. This is no good. But mount this on a wall or put it on a stand in a kiosk, and it does become really, really cool.
How long have you been messing with this thing?
I've had it for about 2 months now. Mm-hmm. And I put it on a super high-performance Windows 8 desktop. And I have to say, it has changed my experience. I mean, I was really frustrated at not having touch. This was a really good complement to a non-touch-enabled Windows 8 machine.
Well, since this is so light and portable, it looks like something that could be taken away easily. What if we wanted to track this pod right
here?
We'll go back to our devices being lost for a minute. So there it goes, really easy.
This is a little expensive, right?
Yeah, you don't want it going away.
You don't want it to go away. So there are a few ways to track devices that don't have the built-in processing of a phone or a tablet or a laptop, right?
Yeah, so we've got here in my hand, I'm holding the Stick and Find. This is a tiny Bluetooth tracker. Now, obviously, since it's Bluetooth, it has a limited range. Actually, I believe this was reviewed by Anthony Nielsen on Before You Buy. He's one of our fantastic, actually, he's a fantastic graphics guy.
Yeah, you can see,
there it is. It's a tiny disc about the size of two quarters, and he's stuck it in his wallet in case you lose it. It's $50 for two of these. And it works with an application for your iOS or Android device. It allows you to find it. It has that really cool-looking radar style. I'll be able to find it somewhere. It lights up. It even emits a noise. Anthony said the noise wasn't particularly loud, unfortunately. But if you're losing stuff all the time, it might totally be worth it. And the battery life on this device is approximately a year. So in this video, you can see Brian hiding Anthony's keys. Very important. You need your keys. He went to go find it. The radar is not exactly 100%. It's not like it's dead-on accurate. You'll find it, and Anthony does find his keys at some point, because he does turn on the page function that allows the device to emit a noise. Again, not particularly loud, but $50 for two of these, I think, is definitely worth it. I think Anthony gave it a buy before you buy. Really tiny. If you lose your remotes, or if you lose, I don't know, if you lose your giant monitors, it could be worth it.
Now, that's old-fashioned DF, right? I mean, you've got a device that is just measuring signal strength, and as you turn it one way or another, it'll tell you, are you closer, are you warmer, are you colder, are you warmer, are you colder?
It's the Marco Polo game.
Yeah, but you, it's local. I mean, it's got to be within
about 100 feet was what the range was. This is obviously, so instead of like, where's my phone in the world, it's more about, where's my phone in the house?
Right.
So if you want to be able to find it hyper-locally, it might be the way to go. But obviously, since it uses an iOS or Android app, you probably need another one to find it.
So if you lose your phone, you should get another phone to track your phone.
Absolutely.
All right.
Make sure you have phones.
A lot of phones.
Yeah. There's also this device from TrackDot. Now, this device is, this is not out yet. It costs about $60. Now, what it does, it says TrackDot luggage, but obviously you can put this little device pretty much anywhere. And what it does is it works with cell tower triangulation. That's the way it does its data. It's not doing GPS to try to find where things are. What they suggest you do at TrackDot is you put this little device in your luggage, and if you want to find out where it wound up, because you know you travel all the time, you're like, where did my stuff go? You'll know where it is at least.
It's in Boston.
It's in Boston. Yes, because it's going to enjoy the soon-to-be World Series the way they're going. So this is the thing from TrackDot. This is going to come out in November. It's about $60. I want to mess with it when it comes out officially because I can't really say how it is since this is a pre-production unit.
Why do you think they went with the RF cell tower triangulation rather than GPS?
You know, I would think that it would work in more and more fields, more areas, right? Okay. Because you're thinking about air travel. You're going to end up in a location where you don't want to have a GPS signal, I'd imagine, because you have all of these aircrafts going on. You got this, get you somewhere at least. You know it's in the airport.
Right.
But you've got something.
So this is for those people who just, they really, really want to track something. This is called the eZoom from Securus GPS. This is a device that will essentially lets you track anything. It's got a really long standby time. We're talking a couple of days of standby. Okay. But it uses standard micro USB, so mini USB, so you can go ahead and plug this into a cigarette lighter or one of those little battery packs, and power it for days for indefinite amounts of time. Here's the cool thing about it: it does use GPS and it does talk to the cell service. So anywhere this device is, anywhere that might have access to the sky and access to a cell tower, it can tell you exactly not just where it is, but where it's been. Now, I'm going to go over to my little screen over here to show you the dashboard. This is what the dashboard looks like for Securus. It's telling me right now that it knows that my device is here at the brick house. In fact, I can zoom in on the brick house, and it'll show me. That's pretty good, actually.
There is a giant red pin above us, too.
Right,
it's a very accurate picture.
If you come to the brick house, you will find something that looks like a balloon with a number one on it. But so that's immediate location. And this will update every 5 minutes. So every 5 minutes, it sends a ping. The reason why it's not real time is because if you did that, the battery...
It'll be dead in like a couple seconds.
Exactly. So what are you going to track when you have no power? Or you'll have a device that's the size of a car battery, which... People will probably notice.
They might notice that. Now that I believe that has a service fee, as does this tracker I had here. But my service fee for this device was something $13 for the TrackDot. This one,
So the device itself is going to run you a little less than $80. Mm-hmm. The service is going to run you somewhere between $13 and $20, depending on how often you want to update, how much you want to ping. 20 is all you can eat. Track it all you want. and 13 is like, here, you get like a dozen tracks.
That seems really cool. And it says that you can receive email or text messages when there's movement.
Right.
So if you had it on something that's not supposed to move, you actually get notified. I really like that idea.
Now, here's what I really like. If I go into the history settings, it will actually let me see where the device has been. So now we're getting into privacy concerns, because imagine you dropping this into the back of a car or someone's bike. You know, somewhere they can't see it.
I know whose car this is going into.
Exactly.
Brian?
And let's say I want to find out where it's been for the last 8 hours. And it ask it to display that. And now it will show me that this device started in San Francisco, right?
Okay, that is really cool. I mean, that seems like something you'd see in like old TV shows. Like, show me where they've been. It's like, yes, I could track it out. But this is a device that you can buy for pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's not expensive.
If you're obsessive about where you've been traveling, I guess you could do that.
And it doesn't just do hours. It can track up to the last 90 days. So if I say, okay, show me where you've been in the entirety of the last 90 days.
Well.
So it's a review unit, but it started off on the East Coast somewhere in North Carolina before it made its way over to California. So it's a simple idea, right? GPS plus cell transceiver, send out a beacon every 5 minutes. But the possibilities are unimaginable. I used one of these in a prank not too long ago, where we sent a package to an office that we were having trouble getting packages to people. It was taking weeks and weeks. And we were able to see all the different parts of the campus it went to before it finally got to where it was supposed to be. And it took 12 days for it to arrive to where it was supposed to be. And we learned that there was someone on the campus who was a little bit of a hoarder, and so what he was doing was he was just sort of gathering all the packages, and then he would feel bad and then deliver them.
So that's interesting. So he had a crisis of consciousness at some point. And if you want to know more about tech pranks and treats, we're going to be doing a Halloween special,
yes.
Trick or treats.
Trick or treat.
A lot of stupid pranks, because I really like using technology for stupidity.
This would be a great prank.
It's going to be kind of fun. And we're going to do some interesting stuff, some good treats for your internet speed and things like that. A little preview of what's coming up. One thing I constantly lose, and this is a bit of a goofy thing, I always used to lose my remote control.
Oh, gosh, who doesn't?
For my television, my home theater system. And so I went on a quest a while ago to make every device I had, if it's a tablet, phone, iPad, I don't care what it is, I wanted it to be a remote control. And if you're like, hey, when did that happen? You could go to our huge library of stuff at twit.tv/KH, because episode 55 is actually when I decided to make all my devices into universal remote controls. So I don't need to look for it. I just happen to have like 6 or 7 devices. And the other thing is, I install the app on anybody else's phone and it works fine. twit.tv/KH is the place to go for all our show notes, all of our past episodes. We've got over 60 episodes, really, really extensive notes when it comes to this. So if you want to slow us down, you can download the show. You can play it back in half speed if you wanted to. Maybe it would sound really interesting.
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't that be
cool? Yeah, I'm feeling the vibe.
That's an option.
I'm feeling the vibe.
Available in HD, listen to audio, whatever you want. It's all available at twit.tv/KH.
Yeah. Did you know that you could also email us? That's right. If you have an idea for a show, or if you just want to write and say, hey, I hated the last show, Father Robert is tracking, whatever it's going to be, you can reach us at knowhow@twit.tv. Send it to us, and I will both read the emails. If you send us a really, really good idea, we might even use it. So, you know, why not find out what we're going to do by telling us what you want to see, and then we'll do what you want to see, and then we get into that recursive loop.
Exactly. If you don't want to be in that whole private realm of email, you're like, hey, I want everyone to see my idea. Google Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Try Google Plus. We've got a Google Plus community of over 4,000 people. It's like an old school forum. I absolutely love it. Lots of ideas going back and forth, show ideas. The number one question asked on that forum or that community, what's the next episode about? We tell you that sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But we're there. But the thing is, you guys can argue with us live there at Google Plus.
Yes, you can.
You can see sometimes behind the scenes videos, some weird stuff that goes on at our Google Plus community. gplus.to/twitkh is the easiest way to get there, or you can just go to Google Plus and do a search for Twit Know How.
We're also found on the Twitters. That's right. If you go to Twitter and write any sort of tweet with the hashtag, this is hashtag, right?
That's something or other. I don't know what that is.
With that hashtag of TwitKH, Twit Know How, we're going to find it. We're going to read it. And again, you can write us anything. Tell us what you liked about the show. Tell us what you want to see. Tell us what you don't want to see. And maybe we'll get back to you. Maybe.
Yeah, the thing about Twitter that's fantastic, we've seen a lot of show ideas from the TwitKH hashtag, and lots of questions come up that way. Absolutely love it. Try to use that if you can. Makes it a lot simpler than just the just emailing things. Sometimes, you know, some of these emails, man,
they're brutal.
I would say they're like phone books sometimes. So I like Twitter. Short.
I like the email I got that said, "For the Robert, like the episode. I don't like your face." I'm like, oh, okay.
I shouldn't have wrote that.
I can fix that.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I do like the face now. It's also pretty.
Okay.
Anyway, I think that does it for us this episode of Know How. When do we do the show? It's like on Thursdays.
It's on Thursdays, 3 o'clock.
Three-ish. Anyway, yeah. When iPad ends,
that's when we go.
That's when we start doing our stuff. So that's around 3-4-ish Pacific time. You can, again, like we said, you're like, I couldn't watch it live. You can always download the stuff at twit.tv/KH. Now that you know how to, I guess, set fire to things
and then find things you've set on fire.
That's the thing. You set it on fire, throw it away, find out what happens to it. That's fun. Now you know how to do that. Go try it. And don't blame us if you do it.
Disclaimer.